Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, Matt's Rule Edition. I'm your host, Honky. Mac, how you doing, buddy?
B-S-C-T-O-R-Y, that's the Husker battle cry, my man. We got a dub. I don't care. Don't tell me about the I don't care about the opponent. Don't talk to me about opponents. We put a victory in the opening game of the season in Memorial Stadium in front of the crowd. Game something to cheer for. That's not nothing to me.
Yeah. Hey, we'd be hearing about it if we didn't win, right? We've lost to this team in the past. So
yeah,
we're gonna take that. Every win we can get. There is no win that we are too good for.
No,
right now at the University of Nebraska after the last few years here. So, yeah, Matt's Rule. This is kind of the we just get together. We've got these aren't as long. They tend not to be as long as a full Redcast. We'd love to get some interaction. We've got the people already that are following along. You know, tell us what you're thinking. Leave some comments here, and we'd like to get you guys involved with it. So, kind of join the conversation. But I think just to get it started here, we called this show Youth Movement.
Yes,
and it just has to deal with the amount of players that are playing. My goodness, in general, you can almost go across the board. Every position seems like there's somebody that's getting out there that's a second or first year player. But what we want to do is focus to begin with here on the running back spot. And yes, the running back spot specifically because of the news that came out today. Terrible news, not news that we were planning for whatsoever.
No.
We knew that Ramir was injured and didn't play in the second half, but figured that, you know, he was bumped up. You know, had a few bumps and bruises. That was it. Well, he's out for the season. And then they dropped the bomb that that Gabe Irvin was out for the season as well with a dislocated hip. So both are requiring surgery. Obviously, that's not a good thing. So, Mac, let's just go over that right now. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I'm incredibly disappointed for both of those guys. Ramir, because he's a senior and feels like the program's kind of pointing in a direction that he's really earned, you know, some time on a good team. And then for Gabe, it's just another season-ending injury for that guy. And he was having such a good year. I mean, maybe the stats hadn't popped just yet, but he was trending in the right direction. And I'm terribly disappointed for both of them, you know. From the football side of things, it also doesn't help, you know, to have number one and number two running back go down in the same game. You know, it's next man up. You know, I guess we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's part of the youth movement piece here. Next man up isn't part of the youth. That's Anthony Grant. He was a starter for us last year. He took 70% of the carries from the running backs last year. So we have still have the potential of having kind of the bell cow guy there, the guy that ran for almost 1,000 yards a year ago and has proved to be very durable. So, you know, we're not ready to jump off the cliff, I think, as a Scourge fan 23 said there. We're not jumping off the cliff.
But
we do need depth, and the youth movement comes behind that with the depth there. Emmett Johnson, Quint Knives, you know, also Lumen there, the walk-on who got a carry at the very end of the game there.
Oh, nice.
We need some guys to be able to step up there. And let me make sure I got his name there. Lubin. Yeah, Trevin Lubin. He had the carry for 18 yards on the last play of the game. So, you know, we're going to need some guys to step up in that room, in that running back room. But I guess from an excitement standpoint, are you excited to see the young guys get that chance? Emmett Johnson. We got to see him a little bit on the kickoff return, you know, so far this season. I mean, he's got to be ready to go. That's what Coach Rule immediately said to those guys. If you're not ready, you got to be now.
Well, you know, as far as like off the bus kind of guy, he looks good. He's a big, strong looking running back. I love that, you know, us being a developmental program has allowed Emmett, I'm specifically talking about Emmett Johnson, to be on kick returns. So he's had some live game reps full speed. So that's also good. The way Rule talked about him, he sounds like a three-tool player. He's good in the passing game. He's good blocking, and he's good running the ball. So it's a matter of a lot of this team, it seems like it's a matter of the coaches calling the best plays for their guys. You know, it's not just, hey, we can play anything with these particular it, like we can call whatever we want to, regardless of who's on the field. That doesn't seem to be the case. And that's okay. And that's totally okay. But they really need to have that dialed in for this next week. More importantly, because the next week after that's Michigan. So like we got to, you know, hammer out the game plan pretty well for these guys and really get a test and see what running back's going to do what.
Yeah. Well, look at the running position right now, or at least the rushing yards, where they've come from. On this list, Gabe Irvin Jr., he had the most carries so far, 38 for 204. He's out for the season. Jeff Sims, number two, Jeff Sims, 29 carries, 207 yards. He had 49 losses. Of course, he was getting sacked there. But yeah. Sims, he was out last week with injury. Now, we don't know if he's going to be back yet this next week or not. We'll find that out. Heinrich Harburg is number three on the list for yards with 23 carries for 130 yards there. So now that's a quarterback. Talk about the youth movement. He came in there and had a good game there running the football. And then there's Anthony Grant, fourth on the list, 16 attempts, 74 yards. Ramir Johnson, out for the season now. Mm-hmm. He had 12, 78 yards. And then four guys that have had one carry each, Trevin Lubin, Jalen Lloyd, Tommy Hill, and Luke Lindemeyer. And Luke Lindemeyer, that's not really a carry. He landed on the ball that hit him when he was hit him on the snap when he motioned. So that doesn't quite count. But so really from a running standpoint here, you know, it's got to be a little bit of a movement across different positions. It's not just going to be running backs. We need to find ways, I think, to get fullbacks into it. But the quarterbacks are going to continue to get their carries. But Sims needs to get healthy. And it kind of leads us to the next discussion point here, and that's the QB controversy. And we're saying QB controversy. I don't know if there is one or not. Harburg clearly looked the part last week, albeit at home against Northern Illinois, not on the road against a P5 team like Jeff Sims has gone against. But I think the fact is we're going to need both of those guys. We're going to need them on the field somehow. I think Jeff Sims, his role becomes that much more important, if nothing else, as an athlete.
Well, 100%. And here's the deal. As you were running down those rushing stats, I mean, Gabe had 38 carries. That's actually not that many going into game four. That's not a humongous amount of even carries that we're trying to replace. So this stresses the importance of not only getting Sims healthy and ready to go, but having a backup quarterback ready to go as well, because you can see that the quarterbacks are going to be the lead ball carriers on this team for the foreseeable future. Now, let me put a bullet on it. If Anthony Grant comes in and plays like we think Anthony Grant can play, he could take significant snaps away from the quarterback. But I got to tell you, I like how both quarterbacks run their zone read. They both do a really good job of holding the mesh a long time and really sucking those defenders up to run up underneath them. And it's been very effective a few different times. So yeah, I 100% agree, dude. If we're going to continue to run the kind of offense we're going to want to run, it almost makes me wonder, do you even play Sims this week just to make sure he's 100% healthy going into the stretch in the Big Ten because of our running back situation?
Well, and do you line him up as this weekend is he your third emergency quarterback again, like he was last week? Right. Number one, just to be healthy. But to be very clear, and this gets to that quarterback controversy standpoint of it, is that to me, there is no controversy. We're going to need both, one way or the other. And I made that statement on Twitter, and we got a lot of responses of like, oh, come on, you know, somehow people took that as I want Sims to start over Harburg. I'm like, no, we're going to need both. The amount of carries that these guys are getting, also the athletes that they are. To your point, both of them, they bring the same skill set. They are big dudes that can run the ball well, and we've already seen both of them at different times basically carry 20 carries a game. Yep. So when you think about our running position being hurt, the running back position being hurt with Irvin and Ramir now being out for the season, some of those runs are going to have to be taken up by these guys, these quarterbacks, which we've already said, hey, we got to be careful how many carries these guys are getting. Well,
we don't.
Rule made that statement. Rule made the statement this week, and he goes, you know, our quarterbacks are going to be part of the running game, at least for this foreseeable future, for this season. I don't know that that's what he's wanting to do next year and 2 years from now, but this year, those quarterbacks are going to have to be a part of the run game. And so both of those guys better get ready for it. And so if you're asking me my personal opinion, yeah, I think you start Harburg this week, regardless of Sims' health. But Sims needs to be healthy because I think we're going to need him out there. he's going to be a guy that can carry the ball at times, whether it's as a running back. And I know that sounds crazy, but how did Harper get his start this year? He was a wide receiver. He caught a pass against Minnesota. Why would we think this coaching staff would be any different with Sims? Would they not line him up as a receiver? Would they not line Sims up in the backfield as a running back? Could we have two quarterbacks in the backfield at the same time? I don't know. Get creative. I mean, injuries can create that.
Yeah, 100% he can. And, you know, just to kind of drill down on this quarterback controversy thing, I'm going to kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth here a little bit. Because as the game went on last Saturday, I thought to myself, okay, the defense is playing kind of like how the defense has been playing. You know, they're hitting, tackling well, really physical. They look like they know what they're doing. The special teams played a little bit better than last week. I wouldn't, you know, a couple good punts, but they nothing exceptional, nothing like blew the doors off. No long field goals, no long punt returns or kick returns, anything like that. The offense, the running backs pretty much ran the same. The tight ends kind of caught the ball the same. I guess what I'm trying to say is, the only difference I saw was at the quarterback position. So this is me drilling down on Harburg a little bit. First off, let me say this. He didn't set the world on fire with that performance. His numbers aren't gaudy by any stretch. You know, he probably should have had 100 yards on that many carries. He probably should have had a few more passing yards on that many attempts and more completions. First to admit it, it's his first start. No big deal. But my point is this. Just not turning the ball over allowed us to have the game that we had. And him, he looked so comfortable in the pocket to me. In the passing game, not just the throwing, but the passing game. When he would drop back in the pocket for first start, I thought he felt pressure very well and did a good job of escaping and trying to get some yards. He had one really bad throw into coverage, but only one. Everything else.
Yeah, that could have been intercepted. Yeah.
For sure it could have been. But we've had a couple of those too. So, but you know, like he would roll out, he threw the ball away a couple of times. He got what he could. He didn't hurt the team. He never hurt the team. And you can see how much better a chance we have of winning a football game if we're just not hurting ourselves. That's kind of what this game was. The don't hurt me kind of game.
Well, that's the thing. We could have fumbled three or four times. He could have fumbled snaps the same way we did against Colorado, and that game looks very different. Like, all of a sudden, it's not a 35-3, you know, lead going into the final couple minutes if we fumbled three or four times. So holding on to the ball, just simply doing that, to your point, that's a huge deal there. Now, Deion Pryor here, he said, we all know that Sims is starting Saturday. I'm not sure about that. Now, Big Red Junkies, they asked a good question here. Do you think Sims is getting into the Louisiana Tech game? Might be the confidence builder and test he needs. So the opposite approach, as opposed to saying, let's sit him out, let's get him healthy for Michigan, is this guy, he's not exactly, you know, up in the head right now. He's probably not feeling the most confident after those first 2 weeks. Maybe he needs some snaps against a Louisiana Tech and some confidence the same way that Harburg got that against Northern Illinois.
I have no doubt about that. I think there's a really good case to be made for that. And I hope that is something they do. I guess it's hard to say when you don't know his true health status. So I think for me, number one is he needs to be 100% healthy. 100% healthy. Well, you know, 100% for the you know, fourth game of the year healthy. You know, no one's 100% once the season starts. Yep. So, yeah, I like the idea of getting him in there, getting him some confidence. I don't even necessarily care if they start him because you and I talked about it, Matt.
That's exactly right.
He's what upset me before after the Colorado in the Minnesota game was it doesn't really matter how the line is. It doesn't really matter how the running backs are running. It doesn't even matter how the receivers are getting separation. If we can't trust our quarterback with the ball, it just doesn't matter. And at that time, I had no idea what to think of Harburg. No idea. Mm-hmm. And so after seeing him get in there and protect the ball, by the way, his fumble, the most reasonable fumble of the year. Okay. That's one. And I would give him that. The pocket collapsed on him. It was a quick rush. It wasn't blocked very well, but I'm not blaming the lineman. It wasn't schemed very well to block and shit happened. And that's fine, dude. Like that's reasonable, but he didn't let it rattle him. Like I watched his eyes during the game. They never got big. And he was far more accurate passing than I thought he was going to be. Far more. I don't love his sidearm delivery, but so does Sims. So it's like, that's not a win either way. But it's also reasonable to say, yes, he was playing at home. Yes, he was playing and not a Power Five team and not a hype environment for the other team. Like, that's totally fair. Yep. But my greater joy comes from the fact is, look, we have, this should be the basement of quarterback play. Like, it wasn't exceptional. It was really lunch. What do they call those? Lunch pail kind of guy. Like, it was a very workmanlike effort of operating the offense, which right now in this team's evolution, that's all I want. I mean, yes, I would love for him to blow up and be the next coming of, I was going to say Johnny Manziel. That was such a poor comparison. Oh, Shedeur Sanders, you know?
Yeah, right there. There you go. He's the next Shedeur.
But,
yeah.
But he may or may not be. I don't care. This year, what I want us to see is what it looks like when we don't kill ourselves and we play a game for four quarters. And I think most fans would feel that way with me. We just don't want to see us doing the stupidest shit every other series to kill us. And Harburg now, I know we're blowing it up. It's one performance, but hell, we only had two from Sims and actually his career before that. So sure. It's like, I have a hard, it's hard for me with Sims because of his career, but going back to this, I said, I was going to drill down, talk out of both sides of my face. Sims is a more gifted runner. He's definitely faster. I think he provides more on the zone read as far as when he gets loose. He might have a better arm. He might, it's hard to say. What I would like to see ideally is Sims just to play a hell of a lot better and get a hell of a lot better. And we have Harburg in the wings because we're going to need them both. Yeah. Actually, I don't care which way that goes.
Yeah. I'm like I said, right now, based off of pure performance, I'd start Harburg this week, regardless of health. Right. But John Fields here, he goes, I feel the game is a little too fast for Sims at this point. Don't disagree. I think that's where the mistakes come from. It's got to slow down for him. That's it. For any chance for him to get out there on the field and play quarterback in meaningful minutes, the game has to slow down. He cannot make the mistakes that he makes. But as an athlete, and this is where we're talking about with injuries to the running back, we're going to need playmakers out there on the field. And whether, you know, you can only play one quarterback. So let's say Harburg completely takes over that position and doesn't let it go, which it's a possibility that he goes out here and has a poor second game. By the way, folks, I mean, now there's tape of him out there for the next team to go and prepare for too. So Harburg, there's a lot of work he has to do. I mean, let's not crown the Heisman yet. You know, that Colorado has four guys ahead of him for the Heisman. So, you know, let's not quite give him that yet, but I love what Harburg did. I love everything about it, but we're going to need Sims, his athleticism in some way. Patrick McGuire here, you know him, Mac. He said Harburg's long pass needs a little work.
No question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He threw a nice deep bomb there in the game, and it was right in front of us, and it hit, I think it was Tommy Hill, was the guy that was going for the deep bomb. Hit him in the hands. Would have been a really hard catch, but that was a hell of a throw there. So, both of them have got big arms. I can't believe how bad Sims' deep ball was to Hill in the first game against Minnesota, considering how some of the video we've seen of him at Georgia Tech throwing the ball.
He's definitely capable of that throw. I don't know what the problem was on that pass, but that is well within his toolbox to make that play.
Mm-hmm. Another question here, Big Red Junkies. Do you guys make anything of the Ron Brown wisdom shared with Rule about him needing to practice jumping on a ball? With the fumbling. I mean, I know they say you play how you practice. I guess we probably haven't done a lot of practicing fumbled snaps out of the shotgun. That's a tough one. Just don't fumble the snap out of the shotgun. I mean, if you do a fumble anywhere, you got to jump on whoever you are.
To me, that was, I'm protecting my guy with a story because again, he's not new at starting quarterback. He knows what a fumble is. He knows what a possession is. I don't care if you practice it. Like that's the dumb. Okay. I'm not going to go that hard in the paint, but no, I will say I love Ron Brown on the sideline, just like every other game he's been in the last century of Husker football. Why there's not a statue of Ron Brown when he dies, there needs to be a statue of him on the sideline. That's probably not legal, but like he's just with his arms crossed and sunglasses chewing gum. You know what I mean? Like that is Ron Brown is an icon of the Nebraska sideline. So I don't doubt that Ron said that and he had good intentions to it. It's more that, you know, I guess we'll give it a shot, see what it is. I don't know that that's a fair, I don't know if that's a fair excuse for him not reacting to the football the way he
was. They said that they were telling him to get out of the way of the fumbles, which in practice, think of what that tells you for a second. In practice, it means they're having fumbles if they're telling him to get out of the way in practice. Uh-oh. So right there, that's already, that's an issue. We're having fumbles in practice.
That's not good.
And this is where you go to the second half of the Colorado game and they start going under center more. And you have to almost schematically, if you can't shotgun the ball to a guy, that it's a different kind of shotgun issue than a couple of years ago with Cam Jurgens when he was young. But at the end of the day, if you can't get the ball from the center to the quarterback in the shotgun, then you've got to do something different. And I mean, I don't even want to spend too much time talking about shotgun snaps because we're a D1 FBS college football team and that shouldn't be an issue, but I don't just guard what you're saying. You're big red junkies. I mean, I think it's a legit question and it's a legit issue they were having, but they just need to not be having that anymore. And so it was good to go through a full game, harbored zero issues with any of the snaps, zero issue with the catches. Hopefully that's not something that we have to deal with the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But go back to this youth movement thing. It isn't just the running backs.
Oh yeah. No way.
It's not just Emmett Johnson and getting Quentin Ives out there, which I'm excited to see. It's not just Harburg going out there. And it was cool, by the way, to get Harburg out there a week ago. Nobody knew what he could do. Nobody was real confident with Harburg. And then he gets out there, he gets a chance, and look what he does. It's one of the reasons why we shouldn't jump off the cliff yet here at running back, because we haven't had a chance to see Emmett Johnson. What if he goes out and runs for 200 yards this weekend? You know, what if Ives comes out and has this huge game? There's opportunities now, and these guys are D1 athletes, and they prepare all offseason so that they can have an opportunity like this. But that sack that they had on Harburg, and he fumbles it, you know, within the 5-yard line, right away on the field. Dan Popple's out there on the D-line, and he's helping setting the edge along with Micah Bear. And we went through
a bunch of Makai.
Is it Makai?
Makai Bear. The hardest name to know, and I don't know why it's so hard. It's hard for me too, though, dude. It's so hard for me not to say Gabor. I think it must be related to Zsa.
Yeah. Well, Joel Lane says lots of young guys playing on defense, and there are. We went through a whole video thing on Twitter on Saturday night, late Saturday night. So you can go through our Twitter feed, and it was about 10, 15 plays. We went through slow motion, kind of broke down some plays. But one of the themes, especially on defense, the number of players and in meaningful snaps, like I said, right away after that fumble and you're down at the end zone, like this is where you need to have your, you know, normally you're going to have the best of the best players, and they've got Riley Van Poppel, true freshman out there on the D line. And he's setting an edge and he's filling and there's no place for the running back to go. Micah McKay. What'd you say?
Makai.
Makai.
Like Makai Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer. It's Makai Bear.
Makai Bear. He really set the edge, and that dude, actually, he's now a starter, or listed as a starter.
Yeah, crazy.
Doing outstanding. The next possession, so at this time, I think the game was 7-3. We were in a 3rd-and-3 on defense, and our D-line was Jamari Butler, Raquan Buckley, and Princewell. Those three. I mean, it was just crazy. They were just throwing complete different, you know, combinations of guys, but so many of them are in their first and second years. So when we get back to this idea and what we called the show tonight, this youth movement, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you where that next guy might come from, because they just, all of a sudden they just produce him out of nowhere. It's like, oh, here's some freshman we weren't expecting. And he's playing meaningful minutes.
Well, in some of those guys, I felt like have been on the team for a while, and yet because of circumstances, they still have a fair amount of eligibility, but, Bear's one of them. Raquan Buckley. Like that, it's nice to see him get out there. Judy's playing right now. I mean, there's youth, but there's also just, okay, the guys we brought in to help are helping. Like, we're getting him out there and do it. Like, not to bash on, geez, I can't even remember his name now. Who was the hitman we hired or we got last year from the Big 12 to be our sack leader? O'Shawn Mathis. Like, kept waiting for him to like really produce and do stuff like that. Man, Bear's coming out there just destroying folks. And you saw MJ Sherman make plays. I saw Chief Borders make some plays. I saw Tamon Lynham out there making plays. Dwight Boodle's out there making plays.
Now Boodle's one of the guys that had the season ending injury that they announced today. So
which will just open up somebody else. Yeah. You know, and let's not forget, Matt, Marcus Buford isn't even playing this year.
Hasn't played.
That's crazy. Like, he was one of those guys we were definitely counting on. And then Singleton steps up. And the other thing, too, is they're it's not that they're just producing well. They're all playing within the system very well. They all seem to communicate and understand this defense really, really well. What a credit to this coaching staff. Even when we were playing hyperspeed Colorado, we were still rotating guys in and out, which takes some discipline to do when you've got a team that wants to run tempo. You've got to be on point watching them subs so you can get your subs in right away, knowing down and distance and things like that to get your subs out there. That was happening at a high level. Meanwhile, on offense, the first damn play of the game on offense, we have to call a timeout. Like, that's – sorry, I didn't mean to digress like that, but no, it just reminded me when I said it. I'm like, that was so irritating. Well,
the youth movement that we talked about, we're seeing young guys get out there, but I'm also seeing some development. And you and I have talked about this in the past, Matt. When there's somebody that has been playing for 3 or 4 years, a lot of times it's hard to really get by that point that they are who they are. You know, we've said that with. Honestly, we've said that with Sims a little bit, right? He is what he is.
It's how my fear. Someone, yeah.
Well, how about someone like this, Patrick McGuire? Polar Bear was dominating. Polar Bear's been in this program for 4 years.
Yeah, no.
And we haven't. In fact, a year ago, Matt, I was at your house watching the Wisconsin game, and it's Polar Bear who's lined up on the nose tackle when they when it was a quarterback sneak right at the end zone, and they pushed Polar Bear back five yards, and Wisconsin scores a touchdown, and they get the last. Yep. They get the lead there. And I remember us talking about it at the time, and it was a Rob Zaska quote when he was on our show that he said, low man wins. And it was the whole point of, you know, that Polar Bear didn't get knocked off the ball because he wasn't stronger than the guy. He's stronger than anybody, right? Yeah. He's a beast out there. But maybe it was the bend. Maybe it's how they were, you know, training these guys. This offseason, for someone like Polar Bear, he is in such better shape. You can see it in his conditioning that he's playing 4, 5, 6 plays in a row. He is low. He doesn't get blown off the ball. Look on the other side of the offensive line, Ben Hart. That dude's playing the best I've seen him play.
Yeah.
And he looks different. He physically looks different.
Yeah.
So there's a real development of not just the young guys, but some of these guys that have been in the program for multiple years. We're seeing the best that they've looked now for a couple of weeks.
Well, and I saw some in the chat here talking about a MVP or MIP player of the year for Hutchmacher. That to me, from the guy who played last year to this year, he's had the best improvement. And right now is playing, I would say he is the MVP of the defense right now. I mean, he's been such an anchor for him.
I would too. And we've talked about this for years now. When we switched to a 3-man front, that nose tackle is the difference. You need to, if you don't have strong nose play, what's the best we've played? What's the best defense we've had since we switched to a 3-man front in 2017, the year that Diaco got here? It was 2021. And it was when Damian Daniels was nose tackle.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Damian Daniels it was his last year here. He was in the best shape that he'd been in. He could play 5, 6, 7 plays in a row without having to come off. And when you can dominate the middle of the field, I mean, it pushes everything outside from there. I've seen so many different defensive alignments here. Today, the starting lineups, they have the depth chart, and it changed. The backup for Ty Robinson is now Jabari Butler. They moved him from a jack to a DN. Sweet. So he's like 240 pounds backing up a 310-pound guy in Ty Robinson. Point is, same position, completely different body type, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have different groupings of players depending on who we play. There were times against Colorado we did not have a guy over 260 pounds on the defense. Anyway. And
crazy.
Colorado being Colorado, they couldn't run against it, and they didn't even try to run against it. Okay, so that's Colorado. Now, when you go and you play Michigan, if we don't have a guy over 260 on the line, we're going to get, you know, blown all over the place. So you've got to be able to have different types of alignments. But my goodness, when we need to get a pass rushing situation in there, we seem to have guys that can do it. When we need to defend the run, right now we're third in the country against the run. 3 straight games, Minnesota, Colorado, now Northern Illinois. It starts to become a trend.
Yep.
And we're averaging, I think it's like 46 yards a game on defense that we're giving up against the run.
That's amazing. Nuts. It's nuts that we're not actually higher with that stat. Like, who's playing better on the run defense than us? Must be, but you know, and the other thing about the defense that's kind of coming on, I really believe they're going to start getting more turnovers. I really do. Rule said it best today. The way we're hitting people, that ball needs to be coming out more. And I think that's 100% true. But Blaze Gunderson. Like, we're starting to defeat blocks on pass rush and not just scheme it, you know, and not just, you know, we're getting close, I should say. We haven't had a ton of those, but because the one, I think, I can't remember who got the sack now, but the sack came from the left, but Blaze was almost there.
Jabari Butler?
Probably. Yeah, it was.
Butler one?
Yeah. But you see him start seeing Bear can destroy a block. Bear's getting back there. Yeah. He's defeating blocks. So you're seeing more of that happen. And that's fantastic because that's what you're going to need. Rule said we need more pressure with the four-man front. That's how you do it. You know, you got to defeat blocks. You got to get up there and make them uncomfortable. So it's the defense has been very reliable, very just a lovely turn of events. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have predicted this.
Well, you shouldn't have. I mean, as Mark Flothy here says, it's a huge difference because in 2022, Nebraska had the 109th ranked defense against the run. Now we're third. That's a huge difference, right?
That's incredible. Patrick McGuire,
the defense is tackling a lot harder this year. They absolutely are. You can tell that was an emphasis in practice. You know, Fongwei Reldman says, I think D and everything else is irrelevant until the unforced turnover thingy gets sorted out for good. I don't disagree, but it's not. I don't think the defense is irrelevant in the sense that they're the thing that's going to keep us in games despite the turnover margin difference there. I mean, we just saw what happened. I know it's Northern Illinois. I know it's a home game, but we saw what happened when we don't have a negative turnover margin. We won 35-3.
You know, it's still probably a good idea to play good defense too. You know, I wouldn't call it irrelevant.
Big Red Junkies. How many days until Tony White interviews with MSU? Now that's an interesting one there because MSU today formally kind of announced that they're firing Tucker.
Oh, really? And until today? Wow.
I'm sure there were HR things and they want to make sure everything was done right so that they can handle they want to get out of that contract and they don't want to.
No kidding. He had a monster, didn't he?
Monster contract, right? Look, Tony White's name is going to come up for a lot of positions. He makes $1 million a year right now as our defensive coordinator. And after this season, he has earned
$1 million. You know, does he really? I didn't realize it was that high.
Well, Satterfield's 1.4.
Talk about money well spent on that side of the ball. Damn.
Yeah. I'm hoping to see a couple of years from Tony White. That's what I wanted all along, at least, was a couple of years out of him and be able to really train the defensive coaches that we have. Because what we're doing, I want to see this continue. I mean, this style is real aggressive.
I love it.
And it's so much fun to watch. I mean, I'm an offensive guy, but I love it when the black shirts are going out there on the field right now because I feel like we have a legitimate chance against anyone. I'm extremely excited. I mean, one game at a time, let's beat Louisiana Tech, but I'm excited to see Michigan come in here and try to do something different against us.
Yeah.
And you know, that run defense, how good is it against a Michigan? That will be the next big test.
Well, let's find out.
But up to this point, they've done a great job, you know, and I they just keep improving. I love seeing that out of this defense each week.
Well, you mentioned something by going to the game this last week. I asked you a little bit about just the vibe of the crowd, and you said a couple things, but one thing you did say was that the crowd loves the defense.
Yeah.
And when the crowd is on board and watching when we play defense, they're excited to see the black shirts out there. That hasn't been the case since like 2009. Like that, you were like, oh, great, we're going to play defense now. You know, like that's kind of how I'm starting to feel on this team. And it's like so many guys. It's almost like who's it going to be? Who's going to make the play this time? You don't even know. It's not like a Sue where you're just kind of watching him. You're sort of picking your spots here on this defense on who to watch. The other thing you mentioned about the crowd, and I thought this was – I liked it. You just said – did you say they were being smart?
I just thought they were being smart out there. I mean, like from when to be quiet, when to be loud. I mean, it's typical Memorial Stadium stuff, but, you know, I think – Husker fans understand where we're at right now, and they understand starting a freshman or starting a quarterback in his first game. He's a sophomore, but his first game is being started there. I mean, the fans were supportive. They're behind what's going on. They showed up 2 hours and 15 minutes early to welcome the team off the bus. See, you didn't know it was an 0-2 team coming in there.
Yep.
This fan base treated this game like the first game of this coaching staff, and they wanted to welcome these guys home and get this thing going.
Well, that's good.
One win does a lot. I mean, we feel a lot better right now, even though we've had injuries and stuff. We feel a lot better. We need to stack those wins, right? We need to stack good days in a row. This is another week where we should win this game. We should beat Louisiana Tech, and we should get to 2-2 and have some momentum coming as Michigan now announced that it's going to be a 2:30 afternoon game. Michigan's going to come here. And, you know, look, I've said it all offseason. It's the race to six to me. It's get to six wins, get to a bowl game, get there as quick as you can. If it takes to the last week, it takes to the last week. But if we can get there earlier, do it. I also don't put a ceiling on this team. I'm not going to be the guy that sits there and say, well, we can win eight of the last nine games. You know, we can't beat Michigan. Impossible. Bullshit. I mean, I've seen a 3-6 Mike Riley team go into Memorial Stadium and beat an undefeated Michigan State team. Yeah. You know, and I know I know I like what I'm seeing better right now than then. So I know that we can do it, but it's gonna take a clean game. We can't have the turnovers like everyone in the chat right now is talking about. You can't have the turnovers to do it. We're gonna have to play big boy defense. You know, it's unfortunate that we've had some injuries. I hate seeing Irvin go down. I hate seeing Ramir more for them than anything. But at the end of the day, someone else has to step up. I mean, Michigan last year lost, you know, Corum. And mm-hmm. you know, he was a great running back. That really affected their offense. When you lose great runners, it does affect you. But someone else has to step up. And that's what I love about seeing what Harburg did on offense. It's what I love seeing about what Tony White's done with his defense, where young guys just are filling into roles left and right. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think there's some spots still where we can see more of that. I want to see a receiver or two, a young guy, Malachi. I'm not just because I'm rooting for the kids so much, but I really want to see one of those young receivers, you know, fill into a role. But we're going to have to get creative. When guys start getting hurt, this is where someone mentioned earlier, fullbacks are going to need a carry or two. I 100% agree. Sims could be a guy that could get a carry or two. Absolutely. Look where Kemp was lined up on that first touchdown of the game. Kemp, that the pass to Kemp, he's out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. He was lined up in the backfield like mm-hmm. a running back, kind of like a Wandell, and then he came out across. And that's we're going to need to get creative, find ways to get other guys.
We should have ran him up the middle like with Wandell. That would have worked great.
Have him block like the 300-pound guy. Yeah.
Dude, by the way, though, have you watched that little guy block? He's tenacious. Our wide receivers are blocking great. That's one of the things about the offense that kind of gets missed because we haven't, you know, put up dominant numbers. But the guys are out there blocking. They're playing just as physical. It's just a matter of starting to crease some of these, and it's a matter of holding on to the ball. So there's reasons to be excited. You know, to beat Louisiana Tech, we need to not beat ourselves. That's for sure true. To beat Michigan, we're going to have to not beat ourselves, and then special teams is going to have to take one, and then the defense is going to have to get a couple turnovers. Like that, and that's fair. I mean, they're a playoff caliber team. We are not. But we are not so bad that they could okay, let me say it like this. If we're playing well, I don't think we're a team you should be able to give the ball up to three times and, you know, a touchdown return on a kickoff or a punt and still just walk away with the game. I think especially the way we play defense. Now, we'll see what Michigan's offense is like, but we already know the best offense in the country is Colorado's. and until we gave them the ball so many times for free, we were doing okay with those boys. So
yeah. Patrick says blocking receivers, Ron Brown influence. Brewmaster Bill here says, wonder if Rule will incorporate a receiver in the run game similar to Deebo Samuel. Again, I think that's he already has a little.
Yeah, I mean he definitely has.
Tommy Hill on the reverse, and you know that Kemp can be a part of that. Now, the question, there was one about Kemp not getting open here. What do you think about Kemp not getting open frequently? I mean, he is not going to be he's not the burner guy, number one. He is going to be a possession receiver and find his way into zones. We don't really have that guy right now.
I got to tell you, too, I have a hard time judging that. Just off the TV film, it's so hard to see what the receivers are doing downfield. If somebody – who's writing that? You got to help me.
Big Red Donkeys.
Junkies, if you got some sort of film where it's like all 22 and you could send it my way, I'd love that because it is hard for me to assess like what the wide receivers are getting as far as separation goes. I know I hear it a lot. I just haven't been able to see it.
Well,
it's probably true. But.
Being in the stands there, I guess to say that, what we saw last weekend, this offense can get receivers open. It's running the football and then the play action. And I showed that, again, if you go back to our Twitter feed, and we had about 10 plays in a row that we broke down. One of them was the pass across the middle to Washington on the first drive. Wide open in the middle of the zone. It was all off of play action. You watch three linebackers come all the way up, and then you know, they plant their foot and turn around. It's too late. That's how we got to get guys open through that. On the first play of the game, we lined up under center in I formation. Immediately, I turned to my cousin, who I'm sitting with, because it was an I formation, three wide receivers, no tight end. And immediately, I told him, I go, this is an option set. And we ran option. I was shocked as anyone, but I was like, it's a good option set. But we ran option right away out of it.
Yep.
And a block that Kemp gave, that the physicality on the outside, that lasted all the way through that possession. They were blocking on the outside, and then all of a sudden we do a play action. We hit Washington across the middle, and then the touchdown pass to him. Bullocks is the one downfield blocking for Kemp. Fedoni is downfield. Technically, almost probably could have been a like an illegal pick, because I think Kemp on that touchdown pass, Kemp probably should be
behind the line of scrimmage, though.
He was about 3 yards past, so which I think he needed to be in the
It's a great
need to be behind the line. So point is, we took it. We'll take it. It's a touchdown. Not complaining.
We're a damn sight far away from me feeling bad about like penalties going our way. We're about 40 in the hole before I start feeling bad about that.
Now, R.L. Schaefer here. The biggest thing is our O-line getting their asses kicked every week. The defense will wear down fast. Also, the offense giving the ball away. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see that last week. The offense wasn't giving the ball away. The defense didn't wear down a week ago. And the O-line, you know, for all the talk of how bad the O-line is, we're averaging over 200 yards rushing a game right now. Yeah. Now, I also, depending on who the person is, I can tell you there's a guy sitting about four rows behind me in the stadium that does not like Corcoran. And there was a play where we ran a counter. We ran a counter, and the guy that's lined up right outside of Corcoran on the left side makes the tackle, and he's just screaming at Corcoran. And I have to turn around and go, dude, that wasn't even his dude. That's not his guy.
Did you say that?
Did you
say
it? That's not his guy. Look, it's a counter, and we missed him with the pole. You know, so sometimes it's not just as easy as it's the guy right there. In fact, the PFF rating on Corcoran this week for his pass blocking was like an 80. It was the best he's ever had. So there is improvement being made.
I've always liked PFF.
Well, you down with PFF?
I'm down with it when we're winning.
I like Prochazka getting back out there on the field this week. They slowly moved him onto the field, and he basically was playing the same role he was as a freshman, like at Oklahoma that year, when he came on the field as a sixth offensive lineman or as a tight end. He was actually wearing like number 45 at the time, but as a sixth lineman, we got big in that second half. We got big with Prochazka out there on top of our five offensive linemen. Liebentritt, number 44, the big fullback, he was out there. We had a tight end out there.
Yep.
And you start doing the numbers, and you're like, we said this before the season, Matt. If you get into a bunch of 21 and 12 personnel or even 22 personnel, for all the talk of what our receiver depth looks like, you can only put one receiver on the field at that time.
Yep.
And so in those positions, we were only putting one receiver on the field when you have an unbalanced set of offensive linemen, six O linemen, a tight end, a fullback. You know, we got big, and that was really pleasant to see in that fourth quarter and third and fourth quarter, when it was just, let's get the clock run out and let's just beat these guys up.
Well, all you heard about Northern Illinois as far as like what they brought to the game was a seventh year quarterback, but a really good and disruptive defensive line. And when push came to shove, and we needed sneaks and short yardage, we blew them back. There's no question we blew them back. And I don't care how heavy of a set we got in. We didn't do that regardless of what set we got in a couple years ago. So it's like, I agree. I don't remember who posted it. I agree with the progress has been slow, but there's been progress each week.
Absolutely. Anthony Moore here. He likes the pancake block that Ethan Piper had. Mark Flothy says the offense line's improving slowly but surely. They started dominating the line in the fourth quarter. And then Big Red Junkies here. Corcoran's a guard. They need to get him back inside. And I completely agree.
Oh, I thought
you
said Corcoran was a G. Like an OG. That's so stupid. Of course, that's what he meant. That's funny.
And that's what we talked about last week when we did our match rule. I think I said at that time, Corcoran, there's times he looks out of place out there at tackle. I won't lie. and moving him into guard, getting Prochazka out there, if he can be healthy to go a full game, man, yeah. I just think that's going to make a huge difference there.
They
played Lutovsky a lot, Nueli. I mean, all of a sudden you're seeing name a part of the team right now. Name a position where you don't see the development when Rule says this is a developmental program. What's a position where we haven't been developing players and getting new guys out there? It seems to be happening.
Wide receiver.
You know, that's probably fair right now. And the argument could be made that Alex Bullock is a great example of nobody was counting on him for anything, and all of a sudden he's our leading receiver.
That's probably fair, but
once the season started, you're right. It's like I keep expecting. I want to see Malachi. I want to see one of those young guys, Lloyd. And I know they're trying to get him on the field little by little, but feels like we need some of them.
Season's not over. You know, like I don't say that to bash Garrett McGuire by any means, but it, when you started asking the question, it almost immediately came to my mind. I'm like, running back. Oh yeah. Wide receiver. Wide receivers definitely hasn't produced anybody yet. And even some of the guys that you thought were going to be a little bit better, like Fleeks, he's hardly played at all. so that needs to come along. Also, some of that's not a great passing game for two of the games. And like, it's just hard to say, even with the offensive line, they weren't necessarily fumbling the ball and they weren't necessarily throwing the picks. Now you could argue that because of the pressure, that's why the picks are thrown. I don't think that's true in every circumstance, but I know it is true a couple times. With the offense, it's as simple as hold on to the goddamn ball. Just hold on to the ball, you know, and punt. Like, people were kind of upset that the offense sort of stalled in the middle of the game. But to me, every time we got to a punt, if I was maybe the play calling they didn't love, but I saw kind of what they were doing. I'm like, all right, well, flip the field, let the defense eat, flip the field, let the defense eat, and just keep changing field position. Mm-hmm. And then listen, there were ways to play that game this week that we could have lost for sure. Like there were definitely ways we could have lost that game. And we didn't make any of the mistakes that we have been plagued with, except for one. But even then, the defense came out and held them to three, you know, so that we got away with that one. It was like, and again, opponents are relevant. I truly mean that, because I was looking more at mistakes in how we were handling ourselves than the opponent. That was a very satisfying game for me to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's right here, Bill Lumen again, Brewmaster Bill, because the Northern Illinois D-line was strong, but early on they were putting 8-9 in the box from what they could see from the 600 level. And that was a strength area of the team for Northern Illinois. That's one of the better defensive lines. That could be top half, certainly top half, maybe a top third D-line that we're going to see all season.
Is that right?
Than what we just saw this week. So, you know, we were referencing the offensive line. They did play, you know, against a very formidable opponent there in that regard. Maybe as we transition here to the very end, and thank you so much, everyone that's been following along.
Yeah, this great is awesome. Participation tonight. It's been fun.
This is where I used to say, you know, come watch us. Come, you know, I tweet out, watch us on our YouTube channel. And I'm trying to change that to just say, like, join us. Join the conversation. Be part of it and really do appreciate it. Let's end maybe on a little bit different kind of conversation here, Mac.
All right.
And Big Red Junkies are going to help us out here. By the way, Big Red Junkies, Nebraska Football Podcast, give them a follow, watch them, listen to them as well. In today's NIL transfer world, do you think redshirting a guy like Malachi MC, I'm guessing we're saying Malachi Coleman is a mistake. As of right now, I don't know that we're redshirting him because he has been – so Big Red Junkies, unless I'm mistaking MC for someone else, if it's Malachi Coleman, I don't think he's redshirting. He played again this weekend. He just hasn't played a lot, but I mean, he's snap wise, he's played in all three games. So I don't think that there's going to be any way that he doesn't redshirt, but I think it's a good question.
Yeah. That's about a good question.
In today's NIL and transfer portal world, you know, do you redshirt? How do you redshirt people, or what do you do after this season is done? Now that we go into year two of Coach Rule, and we want to be a developmental program. How do we use NIL and transfer world going into year two? He brought in a lot of guys last year in the portal, and I don't think that he's going to bring that many guys every single year in. I think that was kind of a first year thing.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I don't think I really don't think the plan is to redshirt Malachi. I think the hope is that he gets ready to play and then we can use him. And but to the question in general, like, should you redshirt like a top four star kind of top 100 talent? Probably not. You know, probably not. But we're a developmental program, so I don't know. But then again, if you're a developmental program and you're pulling in high four stars, what do you do? It depends on the position, of course, but the skill position guys, I would probably lean on playing them. And if they're willing to put the work in and let their play time increase as the years go by, as the year goes by, I think that'll be fine. The rule seems like a pretty straight shooter on the recruiting front, and it seems like the messaging to the team is clear. You get what you work for, and we'll teach you all the way along the, you know, we'll help you all along the way to improve. So I think the wide receiver group was young in some spots, maybe younger than some other positions. So maybe that's why we haven't seen the ramp up of the youth. But I don't know. That's an area to look at. And as the offense improves, I think that will probably come along naturally.
Hmm. Any predictions if we'll hear boos if Sims starts? I sure as heck hope not. I've said it before. Ooh. That's certainly not the way I fan. I'm not a boo guy, but what I'd like to see is that when I said that the stadium was a smart stadium last week, these guys need the support right now. They don't need the boos. They need support. And I have no doubt that if Sims goes out there and he makes a bunch of mistakes and fumbles the ball around, you're going to hear boo birds at that point, and rightfully so, really. What I like is that we feel like we have a position now at that spot where if somebody is making mistakes, that you can pull and put someone else in. Or someone else can just go in and start right now. But the thing that we started this conversation off with Sims and started talking also with the running backs being injured is that we need skill players out there. We need talent. Yes. And Sims, if that guy runs the football, if he's a running back on some plays, you know, it doesn't have to be his every down play. Heinrich Harburg started the season off on the field as a wide receiver and just was a quarterback for the last game. So we can find ways, get creative, put Kemp in the backfield, get the ball to the fullbacks, play different running backs there. You know, they did a reverse to Hill, who's a different back for Cripe's sakes, you know, and he's been out there on some pass plays. So find ways, get creative, and find ways to get different guys onto the field. And that's what the staff has. They've gotten an A+ in my book and trying to do that. Yeah. They're trying to find every possibility. In a year or two, they'll probably have they'll have better depth where they can handle a injury here or there, maybe a little bit better. But right now, I think they're emptying the well of like, who else can we put in there? How can we find ways for guys to play? One of the saddest things that I heard last week was pregame. It's sad now because he's injured. It was Ramir Johnson. They were talking to him on the radio before the game. There was a little radio piece. And he talked about how over the offseason, he went to Tony White and said, hey, I'll play defense. I'll do special teams. I'll do anything I can to help this team out. That's how much I want to play. And that's how much I want to be a part of making this team great. And that's the mentality, is that right now, the second that a running back goes down, I almost want a John Bullock or somebody, you know, some linebacker to go, here, can I get a run? Put me at running back. You know, like, what can I do to help? That's the expectation. I'm almost getting goosebumps thinking about that, but that's these players. These are athletes. And I feel for every one of them that gets hurt, but in the locker room, you know, Emmett Johnson right now, you know, Quentin Ives, you know, these guys that, you know, when Trevin Lubin, for Christ's sakes, anyone that watched him play at Wahoo, you know, those guys they're immediately thinking, okay, what can I do now? It's my chance. I've got to step up. Heinrich Harburg last week, the second that Sims went down with the ankle injury, Harburg's like, yep, sign me up. Yep. I'm ready. Let's go. Yep. And that's the mentality these guys have to have. They do have. I'm convinced they have it. And I think we're going to be a much better team because of that as the season goes along. There's so many guys that have gotten meaningful snaps. The experience level, the development level. I think we're going to be a real bitch of a team to deal with by the time we are going and playing against the Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a completely different team.
Well, won't that be wonderful, too? Won't it be just amazing to see us grow as a team as the year goes by? That's fun to think about even. To answer directly to that question, do I think there'll be some boos if he starts? There'll be a smattering for sure. I don't doubt that. There's always going to be some assholes. Right. But there'll be some assholes in there. However, I think most fans, will probably kind of think like, I just feel like when we talk to, you know, the people in the chat, we're pretty much on the same page on this. It's like, look, we want him to play well. We hope he does play well, but we know if he gets like, they're going to boo if he throws a pick. I'm going to boo if he throws a pick. I bet everyone in the chat's going to throw a boo if he throws a pick or has a stupid fumble. I mean, I'm not going to watch idiotic football and go, yeah, well, hey, they're trying so hard out there, boys. You know, it's like they're wearing red. No, be better. So that's fair. But that's ultimately it's up to Jeff, isn't it? Kind of. I mean, isn't it the end of the day? And I hope he does. I hope he rises to the occasion like nobody else. I'm rooting for Jeff Sims. If he comes out there and he's lights out, how good a news is that, folks?
Absolutely. And what Brewmaster Bill says here, Harburg said that Sims was encouraging him every time he came off the field. When we start talking about booing, we can all be unhappy with guy making bad plays here or there, but for Christ's sakes, the teammate that he is, where I sit, we are right above where the new tunnel walk is. So the players come in and out right in front of us. And I watch those guys come off the field victorious, you know, just a few feet away from him. And it was great to see that. But I watched Sims walk off the field and he walked off with his head held high. And I'm like, think about this kid. He's new to Nebraska. He's been here since January. He transferred here to be the star quarterback. And he's made mistakes. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. Through two games, he had six turnovers. Yep. But he was injured. The injury ultimately is what got Harburg the start. But his play probably warranted a change as well. But there he is, walking off the field, head held high. And I'm like, what's going through his head right now? But there he is, working with Harburg all game, being helpful, being a good teammate. How do you – I can't boo that. I mean, that's a good play. That's a good kid out there who was struggling on the road against two P5 teams. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just, I don't want him to come home and have to feel like he's on the road. Let's have him come home and let's be the best fans that we can. Let's make the game harder on the opponents, not our own team. I think that's the role. Yes. That's the role of every one of those 86,000 people is to make the game harder on the opponents, not our team. And so,
And I don't doubt
as a fan, that's my expectation.
For sure. And I don't doubt our fans are going to do that. I think they want the team to win mostly is what they want to have happen. And they're not out to hurt anybody's feelings necessarily. The story's not over with Sims yet and we're going to see him again. So, you know, it'll all play out on the field and that's great. And that's fine. There's plenty of reasons to think he could get better. And there's also some concerns just based on what's been talked at ad nauseum. But as a fan myself, it's like whoever you trot out there, coach, I'm rooting for like a maniac. Like I don't have a dog. Like when I was younger, I felt like I'd have a dog in the fight. Like, man, if it ain't LP, like I don't even want to talk about it. Or like, it was like Tommy or Brooke, you know, like I really had, I was a Tommy guy. It better be Tom. Like now it's like who practiced the best this week? You know, and I feel like I can trust this coaching staff. If they're saying that Harburg practiced the best, we're not sure about Sims yet. Fine, play him. Fine, I don't care. I don't care. Start who I feel like there's no reason the staff doesn't want to win. You know, so they're going to start the guy. I know everyone thinks that he hitched his wagon to Sims, and I get the thinking on that because he was handpicked and we let Casey Thompson go, and Rules maybe has a vested interest in him doing well so he looks good. I get that tangent of an argument, but. Do you do that at the expense of victory? I don't know many coaches like that.
Nah. Well, Matt.
Not good coaches.
Great conversation. We always try to keep this to about – and well, I think with the match rule, we always say we're going to try to keep it to about 20 to 30 minutes. Which
we were going for 20 to 30.
We're at an hour, so I'm really pleased with that.
Honestly, I would – kind of let chat drive it. I'm like, there was interaction. So if we keep talking, as soon as everybody dropped off, I'm like, I guess we'll call it a night. But it was going so well. I'm like, well, we'll just keep going.
Well, Mac, I've already kind of said my piece the other day. I did my solo man show on Sunday morning. So I'm going to just let you do the parting shot and then we'll take it out of here. But thank you, everyone that's been following along. You guys are awesome Redcasters. Appreciate all the support. And also while I'm at it, if you're watching this afterwards, leave a comment below. Let us know what your thoughts are. Tell us where we're right. Tell us where we're wrong. We'll continue to you know, take that feedback. We'll try to incorporate that into future shows as well. We really want this to be interactive. So thank you.
Well, it depends what you're saying we're wrong about. I'm not just going to,
you know, I mean, if you're just, hey, if you boo us and you're, you know, being a jerk, you know, we're probably not going to respond to that. But, but outside of that, you know, we'll have some fun with it. So Mac, parting shot, man, you take it away.
Hey, we're going into week four of college football and it's still there for me. You know, like there's still some thoughts to this team. There's still like some progress to be seen. There's still stuff I want to watch about this team. It's been a little bit on that. I think we all kind of feel like I've had some enjoyable moments watching this football team play, mostly on defense, but I don't care. I'll take it anywhere. I've seen some things on offense I like watching too. I feel like if it wasn't for the Deion show, there wouldn't be this bar out there that's probably making it hard to register how the season's going. But I think it's going okay. And I think there's a chance for us to get a lot better. And I'm really enjoying the watching the team grow and develop. It's been a long time for that. So I hope everybody's just kind of getting a kick out of this and really enjoying it for what it is. We're week four, folks, and the season isn't totally garbage yet. And we've only won one game. But it's like what we've seen is like, hey, okay, all right. Slow down the mistakes. Mistakes have slowed down. Play physical. It's happening. Like all things I think we all as Husker fans can get behind. I'm here for it, frankly. I'm like, I'm even after the Colorado game, I was talking to my wife. I'm like, I am just unnecessarily optimistic still. I just don't get it. I'm more optimistic than I have any right to be. So that's fantastic. We're going to keep cranking these shows out. Matt's going to do a Go Big Redcast tomorrow night and tune in for that too. But, really enjoying this, really enjoying, like, I feel like the fans are kind of waking up a little bit, and I hope this team can keep just sort of poking a stick at the fan base, going, no, come on, we're fun to watch. Come on, talk to us. Like, you're gonna want to be here for that. So let's keep it up, man.
Absolutely. And as John Field says, he goes, a great show as always, and nice to not have malfunctions, laugh out loud. We actually did, John. We had a few malfunctions even before this one.
We had plenty.
But anytime you see Mac on his phone here instead of being on his laptop, we had a malfunction. But you know what? We figured it out. We got better. This week, we were better than we were a week ago, Mac.
By how many minutes, Matthew?
by an hour.
By an hour.
We're getting done right now when we started last week. Come on. That's improvement.
All right.
So okay, Redcasters, even okay, old guys like us can get better. These guys are going to keep getting better. So thank you so much for watching. And until next time, just remember that Matt's rule.
That's right. Go Big Red.
A Herd at Sports Network production.